Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 21, verse 1. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury. There were seven boxes in the temple where Israelites deposited their temple tax. And there were six other boxes where people could deposit their free will offering. So Jesus and his men are watching all this. Verse 2, he also saw a poor widow putting in two mites. This widow's offering was about 1/100th of a person's daily wage. And it could have easily been the smallest offering that anyone gave that day, when measured in cash value. 3. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. And that statement probably surprised a lot of people. Sometimes Jesus said things that really seemed odd. You know, the Pharisees really rattled the offering box when they dropped their coins in so that everyone could hear it. Well, this poor widow's copper coins barely made a ting. So what does he mean by that? Well, verse 4. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in their gifts for God. But she, out of her poverty, has put in all the living that she had. So as far as God is concerned, she gave more than anyone else because he looks at the heart of the giver. And hers was sacrificial. Verse 5. As some spoke of how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts, he said, let's just stop there for a second. The temple was actually a combination of colonnades, porches, buildings, and large courts surrounding the actual temple itself. Its structure was so solid that some of the original footings are still there today. The Jews thought it would stand forever. And it says that he said, as for these things which you see, the days will come when not one stone shall be left on another that will not be thrown down. And 37 years later, the Emperor Titus demolished that temple, stone by stone, just exactly the way Jesus said it would happen. 7, they asked him, teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when this is about to happen? So the disciples asked a two-part question. When will the temple be destroyed, and what is the sign that it's about to be destroyed? 8, he said, beware lest you be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. And so Jesus warns of many false Christs who will arise and say that the time's at hand. They'll say, Israelites' deliverance from Roman bondage is at hand. And our Lord is warning, don't believe people who say that. And they needed this warning because many still had it in their minds that the Christ would overthrow Rome on behalf of Israel. Verse 9. When you hear of wars and commotions, do not be afraid, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at hand. In other words, when you hear talk of war between Rome and the Jews, and when you hear about all kinds of internal problems within Rome and Israel, do not panic. Those are not signs that the destruction of the temple is about to take place. 10. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So there will be wars in other nations, in addition to talk of war between Israel and Rome during the period right before the temple is demolished. 11. Great earthquakes will occur in various places, and there will be famines and pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. And we know from history that several earthquakes preceded the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And according to history, three major cities were destroyed. And so these things happened. Jesus, just as Jesus predicted that they would. Verse 12. But before all these things, they will seize you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. And so before all these things Jesus mentioned come to pass, the apostles will suffer for their faith. They will be persecuted for saying that Jesus is the only way to get eternal life. And when we get into the book of Acts, we're going to see many examples of that, and that did occur before the destruction of the temple. 13. It will turn out as a testimony for you. When arrested, they should not be concerned about putting together a defense. You know why? It's a lost cause. Because if the crime is being a Christian, they are guilty. So Jesus says, use it as an open door to tell government officials how to get saved. It's an opportunity. 14. Therefore, resolve in your hearts beforehand not to practice your defense. In other words, don't waste time trying to anticipate what kind of questions they're going to drill you with, and don't waste time trying to think of answers to those possible questions. Their time would be better spent in prayer, drawing closer to Jesus than ever, so that they will speak the truth with boldness even in the face of persecution, because that's the reason they're going to be in those situations. 16. You will be betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. The spiritual gap that exists between a saved child and their unsaved parent is bigger and stronger than any natural love that a parent would have for their child. There's a very powerful and evil force at work in any parent who would turn against their child simply because their child lives for God, the Creator. 17. You will be hated by all men for my name's sake. Satan will leave us alone if we live the way he wants us to live. But if we speak truth and live holy in this ungodly world, he's going to attack. You say, well, what did we do when that happens? Well, then we speak truth even louder, and we live even holier. 18. But not a hair of your head shall perish. He just got done saying in verse 16, some of them were going to be put to death, and now he says, not a hair of your head will perish. What does that mean? It means that no one who is faithful to Jesus ever loses. Even if they are murdered for their faith, they win. The losers are the persecutors and the devil who inspires them. They may win a battle, but they're going to lose the war. 19. In your endurance, you will gain your souls. Saved people don't say, I renounce Christ, let me out of prison. Or, I renounce Christ, please don't kill me. Saved people do not renounce Christ for anyone or anything. 20. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation has drawn near. Here's the sign. They wanted a sign when this was going to happen. Well, when Jerusalem is under siege from the Roman army, the end is near. Don't expect any deliverance. Don't expect a rescue. Verse 21. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the city depart, and let those who are in the country enter it. Jerusalem will be punished for murdering the Son of God, for rejecting God and his King, and choosing Caesar instead. And yet here, Jesus is given advice on how some might escape. So even in wrath, God remembers mercy. 22. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. This will be the Lord's wrath on Israel for killing Christ and rejecting God. God said he would do it. And he did it. 23. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who nurse in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. Jesus expresses sorrow for those who will find it hard to escape because of their situation. And they're under the judgment of God, and yet, look at, he's not happy about that. So the lesson for us is don't rejoice when bad things happen to those who do bad things, because God doesn't. 24. They will fall by the edge of the sword and would be led away captive to all nations. And it's true, the young Jewish men who survived the attack on Jerusalem were shipped off to work in the mines until they died. Others were just scattered throughout the empire and murdered by animals for the entertainment of the Romans. Others were sold as slaves and taken to the ends of the earth. It says they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led away captive to all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles began in 586 BC when Babylon conquered Israel and occupied their country. And since that time, Jerusalem has either been dominated by Gentiles or threatened by Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles will continue until the Jews recognize that they murdered their Messiah, and they repent, and he returns. And speaking of those final days before Jesus returns, verse 25, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. You know, the ungodly want to exclude God from the world, even though they enjoy the stability that he provides. Well, by shaking the heavens right before Jesus returns, God gives the world a little taste of what it really would be like if he wasn't there holding everything together. 26. Men fainting from fear and expectation of what is coming on the inhabited earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. You know, you can hunt down terrorists, and you can arrest criminals, but how do you respond to the planets dropping and the oceans wiping out cities? You do what many people will do. You have a heart attack. 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So with all the strange things happening in the sky, people will be looking up, and they will be wondering what will happen next. And that's when Christ will descend. And God's going to make it possible for everyone on earth to see him. 28. When these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. The shaking of this world will cause those who hope in this world to panic and die, be frightened to death. But that same shaking will be a reassuring sign to Christians that the new heavens and the new earth and their resurrected bodies are just around the corner. So what's good news to one is horrible news to the other. 29. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are sprouting leaves already, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. And when you notice that a tree, which had been dry and brittle, has become soft and filled with sap and is starting to bud, you know that summer is just right around the corner. 31. So in like manner, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. People don't have to ask if the return of Christ is near. When the sun turns black and the moon turns to blood and the stars and the planets bounce around, the answer is yes, the time is near. Those are the biblical signs. Not the price of oil in the Middle East. Not the fact that Iran is developing a nuclear bomb. 32. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. Generation means race of people. And so this is a promise from Christ that the Jewish people will survive until the very end. 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The planets, the stars, the sun, and this version of the earth will wear out and pass away. In fact, if you can see it, it will become outdated, it will grow old, and it will disappear. But God's word will not wear out. God's word is truth today. It was truth 2,000 years ago. It will be truth 10 billion years from today. 34, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts become burdened by excessiveness and drunkenness and anxieties of life, and that day comes on you unexpectedly. People who are materialistic and self-indulgent are also spiritually dull. Careless living, pleasure-seeking, and worldly concerns cause a person to doze off spiritually. 35. For as a snare, it will come on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Therefore, watch always and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will happen and stand before the Son of Man. Watch, meaning aim for holiness, and pray for strength to make it through the rough times. And I don't know how God's sovereignty works in conjunction with our prayers. All I know is that it is our part to aim for holiness and to pray. 37. Each day he was teaching in the temple, and each night he went out and stayed on the mountain called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the mountain, I should say in the morning, to hear him in the temple. Thousands of people came to the temple to listen to Jesus teach during the early days of Holy Week. No one would have thought that this same crowd would do a total reversal and scream for his crucifixion within a couple of days. But that's what's going to happen.